You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey guys, welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. I'm a veteran journalist who spent 8 years as a senior editor at Sporting News. I'm a former Cy Young and Rookie of the Year voter. I do another podcast called Baseball by the Book, and a longtime Orioles fan. Well, guys, the Orioles lost 2 games to the Yankees over the weekend in what was supposed to be a 4-game series. Of course, they lost 2 games to rain, and they now find themselves 17-41 on the season. Let's just say things continue to go bad for the 2018 Orioles, who have Monday off before a 2-game set with the Mets. Well, even though the Orioles aren't playing on Monday, there is something of interest to Orioles fans Monday night, and that's the first round of the MLB draft. The Orioles have the 11th overall pick as well as the 37th overall pick. If you're interested in the Orioles in the draft, I recommend you go back and listen to the episode I did with Nick Falaris a couple weeks ago. Nick gave us some insights about what he thinks the Orioles are going to do with that number 11 pick, and I thought it was a pretty interesting conversation. In the meantime, though, I want to give you some thoughts of experts on what the Orioles might do tonight. Luke Seiler, who writes about prospects for Orioles Hangout and has been a guest on the podcast a couple of times, tweeted this out. He thinks with the 11th pick, the Orioles are going to select Logan Gilbert, a right-handed pitcher out of Stetson. With the 37th pick, he's predicting Nico Horner, who is a shortstop with Stanford. And then in the 3rd round, he thinks the O's might go for Nick Dunn, a second baseman out of Maryland. Just FYI, Luke is going to be on the show on Wednesday and give his full analysis of what the Orioles end up doing in the draft. I looked at some of the mock drafts to get an idea of what some of the other experts think. John Sickles, who writes for the minor league blog of SB Nation, also thinks the Orioles are going to take Logan Gilbert with that 11th pick. CBS Sports predicts they're going to take Cole Wynn, who's a high school pitcher out of California. Jonathan Mayo of MLB.com predicts the Orioles are going to take Ryan Weathers. He's a left-handed high school pitcher out of Tennessee, and he also thinks the Orioles are interested in Cole Wynn and may end up taking him. FanGraphs is predicting the Orioles are going to select Jonathan India, a third baseman for the Florida Gators. You might remember that Nick Falaris also thought the Orioles were going to take India, and we talked about that in some depth in our conversation a couple weeks ago. So again, you might want to go back to that episode to get more information on him. So those are the guys you should be keeping an eye on. Cole Wynn, Ryan Weathers, Jonathan India, and Logan Gilbert. One of those guys might be the Orioles' first-round selection, and it might be somebody else entirely, depending on how the first 10 teams pick. All right, well, I'm not going to say too much more about tonight's draft, but I did want to talk about the draft in general today. What I want to do today is look back at the Orioles' draft history. So I've gone through each selection they've made since 1965 and ranked the top 5 players. We'll get to that in just a second. Hey, folks, just a reminder. For all the original content of the Locked On Podcast Network, both the podcasts and the written content on every team, go to LockedOnSports.com. And of course, for all your content on the Baltimore Orioles, make sure to go to LockedOnOrioles.com. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. Like I said, I went through each draft since 1965 and looked at all the players the Orioles have selected in the first round. Out of all those selections, I've picked the 5 players who I think had the most productive careers with the Orioles. So just a couple of thoughts before we get into this. Cal Ripken Jr. is undoubtedly the greatest player in Orioles history, but he's not on this list because he was not selected in the first round. He was a 2nd round pick in 1978. On a similar note, Eddie Murray was a 3rd round pick, so he doesn't count either. Brooks Robinson, Jim Palmer, both signed with the Orioles before 1965, meaning they were not in the draft. All right, so for the purposes of this list, we're just looking at guys who were selected in the first round of the MLB draft since 1965. Now, as you probably know, there's some guys on the current team who were first-round selections, and that includes Kevin Gausman and Dylan Bundy. They haven't played very long, as you know, and we don't really know exactly how they're going to stack up when all things are said and done, so I don't really talk about them at all. And of course, we have several guys in the minor leagues who are first-round picks who haven't had a chance to play in the majors yet, including Hunter Harvey, DJ Stewart, DL Hall. Those guys hopefully are going to have productive Orioles careers, but we don't know what those are going to look like. So we're only going to look at guys who played in the majors and had significant careers with the Orioles. Let me mention a couple of honorable mentions first. These are guys who did not make my top 5, but did indeed play for the Orioles for a while and had relatively productive careers. They include Rich Dower, Greg Olson, Matt Wieters, and Ben McDonald. Wieters and McDonald are guys who I think will be remembered as disappointments because they were high picks McDonald was the first overall pick in 1989, and they were expected to be superstars. Didn't really quite work out that way, but they were both decent players for a little while. Rich Dower was a guy who had a long career with the Orioles as a starting second baseman, and he was never great, but he did play on two World Series teams, including the 1983 World Series winners. And Greg Olson was the 1989 American League Rookie of the Year, and had a very good career as a closer for the Orioles for several years. All those guys are worth mentioning, but none of them cracked my top five. So let's start the countdown. At number five is a guy who's having a very productive 2018, and is probably going to make his first All-Star team. Unfortunately, he's not doing it in an Orioles uniform. I'm talking, of course, about Nick Markakis, who is now with the Braves. Markakis was the seventh overall pick in 2003 for the Birds. He played 9 years for the Orioles and accumulated 25.6 WAR, according to Baseball Reference. And I should just note here, most of the information in this podcast comes from BaseballReference.com, an indispensable source for baseball fans. So please check out Baseball Reference. In those 9 years, he had 141 homers and a very solid .358 on base percentage. In 2008, he was one of the best players in the American League. He won two gold gloves and surprisingly never made an All-Star game as an Oriole, despite the fact that he was their best player for several years. I think all of us have fond memories of Nick Markakis, and I think a lot of fans are kind of torn on the year he's having because we'd like him to be having it for the Orioles. But I think most people are happy that he is productive and having a good year because he's a guy who did have a great Orioles career and I think will one day be in the Baltimore Orioles Hall of Fame. All right, let's move on to number four. And this is a guy who I think actually has a good case to make the Baseball Hall of Fame, although he never got much support. And that's Bobby Grich. Bobby Grich was the 19th overall pick in the 1967 draft, which was just the third draft overall. He played for the Orioles for 7 years, and he was a member of the 1970 World Series winning team, although he was not a starter on that team. In those 7 years, though, he was quite productive. He had a 36 WAR. He accumulated all that WAR because he was a great defensive player who knew how to get on base and had a little bit of power. He won four gold gloves, and he was a guy who walked a lot. He had more than 100 walks twice with the Orioles, more than 90 once, and he had high on-base percentages throughout his career. He also had a little bit of power, hitting as many as 19 homers in a season. I think a lot of people probably remember him for his years with the California Angels, and he did play 10 seasons for the Angels after he left Baltimore via free agency. But he actually accumulated more WAR with the Orioles. So it'll be interesting to see if he ever does get into the Hall of Fame, what hat he'll wear. I suspect it will be an Angels hat just because he did play more years for them. But he was a 3-time All-Star, 4-time Gold Glove winner with the Orioles, and did have most of his productive years with the Orioles. His Hall of Fame case is really interesting, and I think it's a shame that he fell off the ballot after 1 year. Hopefully a Veterans Committee someday will revisit it, because he really was a very good player for a very long time. All right, let's move on to number three. This is another second baseman for the Orioles, and it's a guy most of you probably remember. It's Brian Roberts. He was picked with the 50th overall pick, which was actually a compensation pick, in 1999, but it is considered a first-round pick, so he is going to be on this list. Roberts is going to go into the Orioles Hall of Fame on August 11th, and I think you'll all agree that he's very deserving of the honor. Of all the first-round picks, he had the longest Orioles career, 13 years. He had more than 1,400 hits and a solid .349 on-base percentage with the Orioles, and he accumulated 29 WAR overall. He led the American League in doubles in 2004 and 2009, and he led the American League in stolen bases in 2007. In fact, he's third all-time in stolen bases in Orioles franchise history. Now, the Orioles haven't had a lot of great base stealers over the years, so you got to take that a little bit with a grain of salt, but it's still pretty impressive and tells you how effective he was as a leadoff hitter when you combine it with his on-base percentage and his ability to hit for extra bases. Roberts' career ended with a lot of injuries, and he eventually signed with the Yankees, which I don't think a lot of us like seeing, but he was a really good player for the Orioles in an era when the Orioles were pretty bad. He made two All-Star games, and I think he should be remembered as an all-time great in franchise history. I'm really glad to see him going into the Hall of Fame. Number two on my list is a little bit tough to talk about. It's, of course, Manny Machado, who's going to be leaving the Orioles soon, one way or another. He's either going to be traded before the trade deadline, or he's going to leave via free agency at the end of the year. But Machado has had a really spectacular career with the Orioles. He was the third overall pick in 2010, and he's played parts of 7 seasons with the Orioles, including this year. He's a 3-time All-Star and a 2-time Gold Glove winner, and he already ranks 13th among Orioles position players in career WAR at 30.6. He's 9th in franchise history in terms of defensive WAR, and that's pretty impressive for a franchise that includes guys like Brooks Robinson, Mark Belanger, Paul Blair, and Bobby Grich. He has 156 homers as I record this. If Machado stayed with the Orioles, there's no doubt that he would keep climbing the charts, and by the end of his career, he might be among the three or four best players in franchise history. That's not going to happen, unfortunately, but I think all of us should be grateful that we got to see him play in his prime years. And I think, I'm always going to remember when he came up in 2012 during that magical season and what he did for the Orioles with the glove and with the bat as well. He's a special player and probably the best position player the Orioles have produced since Cal Ripken, and undoubtedly the best position player they've produced in the first round of the draft. It is a shame things are ending the way they are, but again, let's focus on the positive and say Manny Machado has lived up to expectations and then some. Number one on the list is a guy who also left the Orioles via free agency after 10 years. I'm talking about Mike Mussina. He was a 20th overall pick in 1990 out of Stanford, and he had an extremely productive career with the Orioles. In terms of his peak value, you could even argue that he was better than Jim Palmer and ranks as the number one pitcher in Orioles history, at least for the time he was here. I know we're not very high on pitching wins anymore, but Mussina had 147 wins in his 10 years with the Orioles, good for a .645 winning percentage. His ERA was deceptively high because he pitched for the Orioles in Camden Yards, in the American League East, in the 90s. Not really a great environment for a low ERA. But if you look at ERA Plus with the Orioles, which takes all that stuff into account, it was 130, which is quite good. He was a five-time All-Star with the Orioles. In fact, those are his only five All-Star appearances. He won four Gold Gloves with the Orioles. And he accumulated 47.8 WAR, which is good for seventh all-time in franchise history. If you limit franchise history to just the years in Baltimore, and you don't include the St. Louis Browns, he's actually fifth all-time, behind Cal Ripken, Brooks Robinson, Jim Palmer, and Eddie Murray. That's pretty good company, folks. He also had seven top six Cy Young finishes as an Oriole. Really, he was one of the great pitchers of the 90s, and I don't think he gets as much attention as he deserves because he was overshadowed by guys like Roger Clemens, Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, Greg Maddux. You know, those guys were all great and first ballot Hall of Famers, but Mussina was almost as good as those guys and should be in the Hall of Fame. Fortunately, he's gained momentum in the last couple elections and looks like he's going to make it within the next few years. And personally, I'm planning to be in Cooperstown when Moose goes in. I hope he goes in as an Oriole. He should, because he pitched more and better for the Orioles than he did for the Yankees. Like I said, his five All-Star appearances all came in Baltimore, and his overall numbers were just better. I'm hoping he doesn't go the route of having no logo on the hat. That's something Greg Maddux did so he could avoid choosing between the Cubs and the Braves. Catfish Hunter did that. Tony La Russa did that. It's something that people do if they don't want to choose one franchise over another, and I could see him maybe doing that. I hope he doesn't, though, because if he does choose an Orioles hat, that will likely mean the team will retire his number and give him a statue at Camden Yards. And both those things, I think, are well-deserved. So anyway, guys, that's my list. I don't know who the Orioles are going to pick tonight, but whoever he is, I hope it's somebody that we can be talking about in these terms someday. Because really, the draft is a crapshoot. If you look at the list of Orioles' first-round draft picks, there's a lot more guys you've never heard of than there are stars. The five that I mentioned, plus those honorable mentions, are far and away really the best of the lot. There's a couple other guys like Jason Wirth who had a productive career elsewhere. But for the most part, these are guys who had either limited major league careers or didn't make the majors at all. It's very, very tough to succeed in Major League Baseball, even when you're a first-round pick. So let's be thankful the Orioles have had as many productive careers out of the first round as they have.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.